You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are talking about something that so many people are asking about today, and this is for a very specific kind of group of moms, which thousands and thousands of us fall into. We are talking with Leslie Richards today, and she is the founder and author of The Homegrown Preschooler. And so we're talking to you preschool mamas today, and we want to just bring some great encouragement to you and just build you up today. I know that this is a really hard season for many of you, especially if you have older kids and you're trying to homeschool older ones and you've got little ones down at your feet. It is really difficult sometimes to know how to balance those things. And so there's no one that I can think of better to address the issue of preschoolers than Leslie, because she is the author of The Homegrown Preschooler. Leslie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Yvette. I'm so happy to be here on Schoolhouse Rocked.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here. You are the mother of five. Tell us just briefly about you and your family and how you came to start this ministry to preschool parents.
Well, okay, so I have five children. I have my oldest is 23 and she's a nurse in Atlanta, homeschool graduate. And so I was really happy that I have like some street cred that I can get a kid through college
and reach it
in the world. I have a 20-year-old son, Luke, and he also has autism and he has an extra Y chromosome. And so he's 6'11", and which is a form of giantism. We've done like the whole special needs parenting thing. And then I have my 17-year-old musician son, Samuel, and my 14-year-old first week of high school for her, and my 10-year-old Rosie, who her big thing is she's on a developmental rowing team and she wants to go to the Olympics. So
wow,
that is my crazy crew. And then I have my husband, Brendan, who he is a CPA and he would rather just work on his boat than do anything else. So we're in the middle of a pontoon boat rebuild.
Oh, how
he
fun.
And I together, where it's been this big family project. Well, it has to be done by Friday.
Oh,
that's like the drop dead, like okay. Has to be in the water as well. So that's our whole family, our crazy group. That's been our big project this week. Totally off topic, but it's just on my brain. So
yeah.
So that's our group. Now, when I first started homeschooling, I had a first grader and this was going to be a temporary thing.
Right.
And like I paid for after school childcare because I was not going to be a homeschool. So I really sympathize with all these kind of accidental homeschoolers that are thinking, oh no, you know, I never thought I would do this. And here I am, you know, with COVID having to struggle with this. So I'm right there with you on that. Like this is not going to be my thing, but right. I had a special needs son. We had other circumstances where it just turned out that my husband was like, you know, why don't you just keep her home this year? So I decided to bring her home with me and the boys went to preschool and apparently I did such a good job that he was like, bring them all home. So the next year I had two preschool boys and I had my daughter at home and I was pregnant with a new baby.
Oh, wow.
In November. So it went from like, one sweet little tea party, six-year-old to like all the chaos. And so when I started looking at preschool curriculum, I saw toy packages and I saw worksheets, like big stacks of workbooks and toy packages. And most of us moms now have lots of developmental toys. Like we don't need another toy. And workbooks are not really developmentally appropriate. It wasn't like what I had remembered about Play-Doh and puppet shows and building things and pretend and all of that. And so I realized there was kind of this hole. And so my friend Kathy Lee and I, she's a early childhood specialist, she and I were talking, we decided to write a curriculum together. And so that was the homegrown preschooler. And it really did fill a need. Like, people were so happy to see us. And so when the book was published, it was really interesting. I realized through researching that preschool is really a new phenomenon in our generation.
Right.
And I took it to my little Steel Magnolias beauty shop here in Georgia when it came out. It was all shiny and pretty, and I was so excited. And I wanted to show my hairdresser. It was an author, you know, so excited. So these little ladies start passing around, and this one little lady was snapping the pages. She picked at something, and then she slammed it kind of down on the thing. And I said, "What?" And she goes, "Well, I don't know why you had to go and write a book about all this, because in my day, they just called it being a mother." And I was like, but, you know, she's not wrong.
Right.
That moms used to do this at home.
Right. Right.
So it can be a natural thing in the home environment, and your child isn't missing out on anything as they learn in their home with just a few tweaks to your environment.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely true. I used to be a preschool teacher, actually, before I got married, I worked at a preschool. And then after we got married, we moved to a new town, and I worked at a different preschool then. And it was so interesting to just see the development in these kids. But what always broke my heart was that we had kids that their moms would drop them off literally at like 6:30 in the morning because they had to commute to work. And then they would pick them up at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I just thought, oh, you're missing so much time. But I got to kind of play mom to these children along with the other preschool teachers. And I found great joy in that. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I wasn't a mom yet, of course. I was, you know, like 20. But now being a mom, I realize, oh, they miss so much time with their kids and so many just different benchmarks in their lives. And
like you said,
it really is motherhood. It's just, you know, if you send them to preschool, it's someone else kind of playing that role for you. And in reality, we really can do this at home, but it's not easy. It is a really hard thing to do. And so, you know, you and I were talking about this before we jumped on live. Your two youngest are exactly the same ages as my two, 10 years old and 14 years old. So I had a almost 5-year-old when my youngest was born, and it was tough getting through the first couple years of homeschooling because I had a very, very demanding, high maintenance toddler at my feet. And I remember just feeling so overwhelmed, just like, what am I doing? I don't even know how to get through an hour, much less the next day or the next week. And it is a very, it can be very stressful, and it can really take a toll on the entire family.
Did you miss the 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo? If so, you can now have full access to the entire expo for just $10. You'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from many of your favorite homeschool leaders. Here are just a few of the testimonials from those who have enjoyed this online conference. Rachel said, "Best homeschool conference I have ever attended, filled my soul and definitely God-driven." Katie said, "This was absolutely amazing. The one thing that stood out to me about each session is that every single one pointed us back to Jesus, back to Him who is faithful." Register today for lifetime access to the entire conference for only $10 at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com.
One of the questions that we get asked a lot, as a matter of fact, quite some time ago, we sent out a survey asking, what do you want answered on the podcast? And the most asked question we got was, how do you homeschool multiple aged kids? How do you do this with, you know, especially like you had five. And so whether you have two, like I have, or five or eight, how do you manage all of your children at one time with preschoolers? So I would love for you to give some practical advice on that. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about specifically educating preschoolers.
Okay. So one of the first things that I would say when you have a whole family that you need to really think about creating kind of a family liturgy, like a good rhythm for your day. And sometimes when you homeschool, you walk into it with kind of a school attitude, and that we should get like, and I was right there. Everybody get up and do their math, chop, chop, you know, do your math first thing. It's the hardest thing. It's the thing I hate the most. Let's get out of the way. And it's funny, the more I learned about the brain, the more I learned about how children really learn and operate, the more my schedule was kind of flipped. And so what I learned to do is that there are certain things that everybody needs to do to get their brain working at an optimum speed. And it doesn't involve coming downstairs and flipping open your math book, you know? And so what I learned to do was to make our morning the time where we all got together, we had our breakfast together, we played nice music, we did some art, we got moving outside. So whether it was riding tricycles outside or drawing on the front sidewalk or doing a nature walk, we got our bodies moving, because there is a lot of research to show that exercise makes you retain like 40% more than you would retain otherwise. Your body makes certain chemicals during exercise that makes retention of information and concentration so much easier. So I quit with the big kids of saying, get out of bed and get to work, you know? So I let them enjoy their siblings to get up, have a leisurely breakfast, listen to some music, be creative, journal for a while. And I filled those little buckets of the littlest ones first and let them, I'd pull out the preschool stuff in our curriculum. And so when I was writing the curriculum, my 12-year-old son kept coming in and I'm like, get out of here. You know, you don't need to be playing with water beads and, you know, colored rice and all that. This is not for you. And I would never do that again, because I realized that 12-year-old boys need just as much sensory input to calm themselves down. And that particular kid is a very self-aware kid. And he was like, I really noticed that when I read and I'm touching some of this stuff, it just seems like I remember better. And so he started making bowls of sensory stuff for himself while he was reading his books in high school. And so it's just really interesting the way that the little kids' things actually help the older kids.
Yeah.
So the other thing I would do is set out invitations to play for the little ones. So I would try to find some places around my house where I could, like, I would buy little thrift coffee tables and stick them in the corners of strange places. And I would set out some things for them to explore without really instruction that they could interact with. And so one of the things that I would put out is like our herbal Play-Doh. A lot of the people that have seen us at conventions love our herbal Play-Doh. And I'll give them sticks and rocks and leaves and flowers or whatever, and they will make so many amazing things with that Play-Doh. And it doesn't have a color, so it doesn't suggest itself to be anything. And it smells really good. And so they would play with something like that. The other thing I would do with older kids and little kids is that I would get, you know, the bins that you use to bust dishes with in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I would buy those at the restaurant supply or at Sam's Club. I really like the ones that they have at Sam's Club. They sell them for two for $20, I think. But they're very sturdy. And so you can put about this much water in them. And I would put it on top of two beach towels. That's my tip. Like, beach towels and a little water will go so long in a homeschool with little kids. And I would put it in the center of the family room and on two beach towels. And I would give them some different things. Sometimes I would give them the breakfast dishes because I'm lazy. And the whole reason I had a bunch of kids is to have an army to do my
house. That's right.
I tease them about that all the time. But no, I'd give them the breakfast dishes sometimes. I would give them sea animals and I would give them measuring cups or spoons or, and they could sit on those beach towels and play in that little teeny bit of water that honestly, even if it got dumped out, those beach towels are going to soak it all up and it's going to be fine. And then we would drag the baby around on the beach towel afterwards. Nice. And tidy up everything. They all thought that that was really fun.
And you get to mop your floor in the process.
Yeah. And I would sit and do read alouds with them. And now the other thing that I would do is I would keep, you know, the ends of all your Bath and Body stuff or the cosmetics that you don't use or whatever. I kept a basket and I'd sit there and I'd read aloud to the big kids and I'd let the little kids put makeup on us. And it was such a dumb, silly thing. But oh my goodness, they were fascinated and we could read and get our work done. And they would put lotion on our hands and our feet and put makeup on us. But it was just like giving the, and that was a really great sensory activity too. Sure. And I say, take advantage of that, moms, because they'll only rub your feet for so long. Preschoolers will totally rub your feet. But they won't do that when they're teenagers.
Right.
You have beautiful lady feet. So take advantage of that stuff. But I would try to have some things where they could, while we were working with older kids, that they could not get in trouble and be at odd ends. The other thing that I would do is the bathtub. And there were years, especially when I had a high schooler and three little ones, little stair steps, and an autistic son who would get into things, and he really likes sensory stuff, so he is a big mess maker. And I would sit in my bathroom floor, and I would put the little ones in the bathtub with shaving cream, with finger paint. I remember sitting on the bathroom floor writing Shakespeare papers with the high schooler. And we had a glass shower enclosure and a bathtub.
Nice.
And so I had one in the shower enclosure painting naked with paint all over the inside of the shower enclosure. But it's perfect. They can paint whatever they want on the inside of that thing, and then we can hose it down and be done with it. And because I like art you can be done with, because I'm a very prolific artist. And then I have all this guilt because the papers stack up and God forbid throw anything away and they find it in the trash can. And I don't know how that got there. So I like art that you can wash down the sink. Because I would just die in a pile of paper otherwise. But I would give them popsicles in the bathtub. I would give them shaving cream to play with. And my big kids would just sit there on the floor with me. And so I would laugh. People would be, can I see your homeschool room?
You're like, here's my bathroom.
This is my master bathroom. Yeah, we do a lot here. And so, and that's just the survival part of, okay, because you know how they sneak off?
Yes.
Like the little ones will sneak off and it'll get really quiet.
Right.
And you're like, uh-oh. Like, it occurs to you that you have a child.
Right.
And you're like, where'd that three-year-old go? You know, I haven't heard from them in a while. And the thing is that the kids that need that sensory input, and they really do, like, at that age, I keep talking about sensory stuff, but I want people to understand that babies, little babies, are born with largely unorganized brains, right? And so as they take in different types of sensory stimulation, those synapses start linking up, and different types of sensory stimulation build synapses in different parts of the brain. And so like, for example, imaginary play builds synapses in the part of the brain that governs self-control and executive function, and that is so important for a healthy adult. So imaginary play is really important for little ones. So we need less structure sometimes, less outside activity, so they even have the time to fall into that state where those synapses start forming. Sensory play, like the muddy, slimy stuff, that builds synapses in the part of the brain that governs mathematics.
Wow.
And so that is really important. And so we have these little children that their brains want to link up, right? The brain wants to be efficient. It wants to link those synapses. So just like a hungry child, like if your child was hungry, they would seek out food. They would steal food, whatever it took to feed that need. And so especially those children that you see dumping out stuff or being in their high chair with their yogurt where they just have to, like, you know, that is a high sensory need kid. And so if you don't provide it, they will go get it. They will go find it. And so my littlest was my highest need sensory kid and my biggest mess maker. And I will never forget this one time. I was probably writing a book and being a big hypocrite and not doing as many hands-on things.
Telling other people to do it.
And so I'm looking for, because I had one of those moments where I hadn't heard from her for a while and I didn't hear anything. And so I go upstairs and I find her sitting cross-legged on my bedroom carpet, and she has poured out an entire big bottle of Costco conditioner onto the carpet. And she's sitting here with two circles with her eyes closed doing this.
Oh, no.
And these two giant circles of conditioner on my carpet.
Oh, no.
And so I stopped for a second and I wanted to freak out because I was like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be the biggest mess. But I thought to myself, that probably felt really, really good. Like, if you think about what carpet fibers under mm-hmm. conditioner, and if you did it long enough, like, your fingertips would go numb, and that would feel kind of cool. And I just realized, she was just, like, locked in there. Didn't even notice me. Come in. And I knew it was my fault because I hadn't been providing that kind of thing. And her brain was just seeking out. And I'm telling you, I'm going to bring carpet samples and conditioner when I go on do talks, because I think we should all put our hands in that. See what it feels like. But that stuff is really important for mm-hmm. your sanity, to provide enough sensory stuff so that those little kids will not drive you crazy. So one of the first things that is different is, like, most people like to send their kids to preschool so that they can go do those messy things, right?
Right.
They can do the finger paint, they can do the clay, and it doesn't mess up your house, right? And what I have realized, and some moms too are cleaner than others. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't fall on the clean spectrum, unfortunately. My husband would probably trade me in for someone who...
I don't think so.
He was a little bit, well, it's funny because I married my opposite. And so he's a lot more like,
sure,
likes things a certain way.
Right.
And I was really hoping that he would kind of pull me in his direction, but I just like brought him down to my level. We've all just given up. But anyway, what I would say is think about very small amounts. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I use all the time is little condiment cups. Mm. Okay. And I think one of the problems, that the reason that parents hate, for example, paint, is that kids can make a ginormous mess with it. It's a pain to clean up. It stains things and whatnot. But if you give a child a little teeny condiment cup with just enough paint to cover the bottom of the cup and a few Q-tips and some paper, it is amazing how long a preschooler will sit there and make dots. And it's not even enough so that if you shook it, it would make a mess in your house. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is that you should always try to say yes whenever you can. Mm. And so when your child says, can I paint? Can I do this? Can I do that? I know, because I have adult kids, there's enough time over the course of the 18 years that you have with your child that you have to say no. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your no is a really critical no. Like, you want them to understand that you have their best interest at heart.
Right.
And you're not saying no just because you want to be inconvenienced or you don't want them to make a mess. Or do you know what I mean?
Sure.
They need to know your heart.
Right.
With your no's for them. And I think that it's easy when we have so much going on to have our no's be, no, I don't want to, you're going to make a mess with that. Remember what happened last time, and I'm not picking that up. And so what I would say when it comes to art supplies and things like that, instead of flat out saying no, think, in what amount would I be okay with this? Mm-hmm. Would I be okay with a teacup of water beads or, you know, a little bit of slime in this? I have a really love-hate relationship with slime right now.
Me too.
Yeah, it's showing up in the oddest of places in my house. I'm not okay with that. But, and I think it's because I've made this monster myself. Like, at first, I was too restrictive about it. And so they would take it and they would have it there, put it in their pocket. Because they're like, oh, no, we have slime in the living room. Hide it quick. You know, and it would end up in laundry. And But anyway, there's a place and a time for it. Mm-hmm. And so be okay with saying yes. If you're okay with a teaspoon of paint and some Q-tips, I would rather say yes, just a second, let me get you some, let's start with this. Mm-hmm. And as they build their skills, I mean, I've seen moms go, oh, okay, we just bought water beads from the homegrown preschooler, so I'm going to make this big tub and I'm going to give it to them. If there's a kid, especially if they are high need sensory kid, that kid will empty that bin of water beads, sand, whatever. I mean, I've seen it happen where it's almost like they're so hungry for it. They're just like, oh my gosh, their whole nervous system is just, you know, in this frenzy. And so they're not even really thinking about that. And so my child, one of mine was like a dumper like that, where I would get a new thing for the sand in the water table, and that sand would all end up in the deck. And so quickly. And so with those kind of kids, you want to make sure that you start with really small amounts and go, you know what, I'm going to give you this 9x13 pan of sand. You can sit here and play with it and make things. And if you keep it in the bin, then I'll give you more tomorrow. And maybe you can make a sandcastle or something bigger tomorrow. But you really have to train them sure. with those materials. Yeah. So does that make sense?
It does. Well, and that gives them some kind of incentive, because if they want to continue playing with it, then they learn how to use self-control while playing with it. So yes. I think that's perfect.
So that's like what some little practical things that I have.
Yeah. Well, I love how earlier you talked about filling their buckets ahead of time, like before you even jump into schooling with the other ones. And that's not anything that I've ever really thought about, but it's brilliant, which is why you're the master of homeschooling preschoolers, because they really do need to have that kind of release of energy, because if they don't, I mean, it's never going to end. They're going to constantly be pulling at you and nagging at you. Mommy, come play with me. Can I do this? Can I do that? Or like you said, run off and get into something that they're not supposed to be into. And that can become, I mean, then it's going to take you a whole lot more time to clean that mess up than it is if you have a structured mess somewhere. You talked about them being in the bathtub. I mean, that's a great place even to go sit. And there are so many resources now for, you know, washable paint and things. You know, they can sit in the bathtub without water and paint. And I mean, there just are so many options for kids to keep them occupied.
I just want to tell you too, Discount School Supply has this wonderful, I think it's called BioColor. They have liquid watercolor, which goes a long, long, long way, but doesn't stain hands or clothes.
Oh, okay.
And so it's so much better to buy quality art supplies, little ones. And that is one of the things, like when you're talking about cleaning messes and taking more time, every year I'll buy at the beginning of the year a set of the liquid watercolor and the tempera paint for them. Right. And that way it won't stain your grout or your hands and all of that. It's definitely worth the investment. I've noticed that the paint, like from Michael's or Dollar Tree, is a lot more stainy.
Sure. So. Well, we don't want stains, that's for sure. Years ago, when my oldest was in probably second grade, I'm thinking, there were several moms. One of my friends kind of headed up this community of moms, and she just said, we're going to have this get together at my house, and everyone is supposed to bring a project enough for all the other moms there. So I think, I don't know, there were maybe 10 moms there total. And so like one mom would make up some kind of project and she would make 10 of them, and every mom would make 10 of their own project.
Mm-hmm. And That's a great idea.
It was so fun. And then we all went with our 10 of the exact same product and walked out with 10 different products. And they were just fun things that we made at home. Some of them were lacing cards, and some of them were tracing papers, and some of them were puppets, and some of them were, you know, homemade Play-Doh. I mean, there are 5 billion ideas on Pinterest that you can find, but it was such a fun way.
There's a whole section in our book about that as well.
Yeah.
About those little bag activities that you can make.
Yes.
And it is, co-op with your friends.
Yes.
Because that community is one of the best parts of homeschooling. And I think that's kind of people don't think about that automatically. They almost seem like it's a withdrawal from community. But I think we're one of the most community-oriented groups that there is.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And it is so important to have that community. But yeah, it was lifesaver. I mean, I think those projects lasted me, you know, 6 months probably. It was a long time because often, you know, they were things that they could play with over and over again. But that's a fantastic thing to do.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed part one of my interview with Leslie Richards from The Homegrown Preschooler. Please share this episode with any of your friends who you know need encouragement when it comes to homeschooling with preschoolers. Join us again on Wednesday for part two of our conversation. And until then, have a fantastic day.